O'clock, and time to begin our Bible study tonight. It's certainly so good to see each and every one of you. I'm so glad and thankful to be with you. Hope you're having a good year so far. I've been greatly looking forward to this year for many reasons, one of which is due to the study we're beginning tonight. We're looking to do an overview of the Bible. It's our plan, if the Lord wills, to cover a book each Wednesday night. Dad and I will be alternating Genesis tonight, then Dad will look to cover Exodus next Wednesday night, if the Lord will. A lot of information in each book. As was mentioned before already, if you miss just one night, you're going to miss a lot, because we're going to look to cover a whole book each night. We're dealing with the first book of the Bible, Genesis. The first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, make up the books of the law, known as the Torah, or the law, the Pentateuch, right? The Pentateuch is a Greek word referring to a fivefold book or volume, the books of the law. Who's the author of these? Good, Moses is. Many passages would suggest that, like John 7:19-23, Luke 16:29-31. Many others could be referenced to emphasize that. Moses, the author. Ultimately, God is the author of Genesis and each book, as all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for proof, correction, instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It's inspired of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, right? 2 Peter 1:21, Moses would have been inspired of God in his writings. Genesis, what does that mean? We're talking about the book of Genesis. What does Genesis mean? Origin. You have anything different? Anybody? Origin. John? What was the first word?
Generation.
Generation or beginning. Good. Origin, generation or beginning. Good. Source. The Hebrew name for the book is Bereshith, which means in the beginning. The Old Testament was almost all written in Hebrew, and Bereshith is the first word in Genesis, in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. Gives us a good idea and a good introduction into the book, what it's about. In the beginning. That's what we're talking about. I begin by giving you an outline of Genesis. It's good to, as we study, to look at an outline, an overall view of each book. I encourage you to read each book as we study them. And I challenge you to try to make up your own outline of each book. It's a good way to study, a good way to come up with a good and be familiar with the contents of each book, to have an outline, a good reference to have in our studies. And there's different ways Genesis can be outlined or divided. The one I have listed, Genesis 1 and 2 cover the creation. Chapter 3 deals with the fall of man. Sin is introduced. Genesis 4 and 5, from the fall of man to the flood. Chapter 4, dealing with Cain and Abel. Chapter 5, the descendants of Adam. Chapter 6 through 9, we have the account of Noah and the flood. Then we have in chapters 10 and 11, Noah's descendants and the Tower of Babel. Chapters 12, 1 through 25, 10, the story of Abraham. 25:11-28:9, the story of Isaac. 28:10-36, the story of Jacob. The story of Joseph, chapter 37 through the end of the book, chapter 50. That shows that Genesis begins with the creation and ends with the death of Joseph. Creation to Joseph. As I suggested, it can be outlined different ways. That's just one way. Within the book itself, it's divided in 10 different sections. Each division begins with the words, "These are the generations of," Of course, we have the introduction of the creation account, chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 3. Then in chapter 2 and in verse 4, we have, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. So that'd be one division. That covers chapter 2, verse 4, all the way to chapter 4, verse 26. That takes us to chapter 5, verse 1. The next division, this is the book of the generations of Adam. So the generations of Adam, beginning in chapter 5, verse 1 to chapter 6, verse 8. Then we have the generations of Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. And that would cover to chapter 9 and in verse 29. Then chapter 10, verse 1, these are the generations of the sons of Noah. You see the divisions within the book. There's 10 of them. This takes us to chapter 11, verse 9. Then in verse 10, we have the generations of Shem. This goes to verse 26. Then chapter 11, verse 27, the generations of Terah. That takes us to chapter 25, verse 11. Then in verse 12, we have the generations of Ishmael. That's 25, verse 12 to 18. And verse 19 of chapter 25, the generations of Isaac. Takes us to chapter 35, verse 39. In chapter 36, we have the generations of Esau. And then chapter 37 through 50, the generations of Jacob. So notice those 10 divisions. The Genesis can be outlined that way or divided in those 10 ways, the generations of. And then also, it can be divided into three periods of history. The book of Genesis covers three periods of sacred history. The antediluvian period, that's the period before the flood. The post-diluvian period, that's the period after the flood. And then the period of the patriarchs, or the patriarchal period, which takes us from chapter 12 to the end of the book. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Certainly, Genesis is a fitting name for the book. Beginning, source, origin. In the beginning, it's certainly a book of beginnings, isn't it? Did you come up with any beginnings that are revealed in the book of Genesis? Let's name a few of those. Anybody? Richard? Heavens and the earth. Absolutely. The universe or the world. 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. What else? John? Eric, go ahead. The beginning of man. Chapter 1, 26 and 27, let us make man in our image. The beginning of man. John, you have one? The beginning of sin. Sin entered the world. Genesis chapter 3. They were told of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. First law. Good. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. Satan came along, said, you shall not surely die. Eve took. She gave to her husband, he took and ate. And that introduced the beginning of consequences of sin, didn't it? Consequences. What else? Judgments. That's right. We have marriage. Very good. The beginning of marriage. What else? Languages, nations, cities. Make a good study in of itself. Beginnings in the book of Genesis. Have anything else? It's a book of beginnings. We mentioned periods of history. There's 14 periods of sacred history throughout the Bible, and Genesis covers three of them, the first three, antediluvian, post-diluvian, patriarchal. The antediluvian period is the period before the flood, which lasted from creation to the flood, is covered by Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 8. And I asked you to summarize the events that occurred during this period. Of course, we have the creation, chapters 1 and 2, the fall of man, Cain and Abel, chapter 4, right? Noah comes through the descendants of Adam and Seth, chapter 5. We see Noah and his family. Then we have the flood, don't we? Beginning in chapter 6. God saw the wickedness of man. It was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we'll have the flood. Noah being commanded to build an ark. Verse 22 of chapter 6, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Then we have the flood. That covers the antediluvian period, the period before the flood. Then we have the post-diluvian period, the period after the flood. It covers the period after the flood to the call of Abraham, covered by Genesis chapter 9 to Genesis chapter 11. And the events, of course, in chapter 9, we have Noah and his family getting out of the ark. They were told to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, verse 1. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth. He says, verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Prior to this time, they were not authorized to eat meat or the animals. It was just plants and herbs and fruit of the trees. Now they're authorized to, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. They're told, though, verse 4, the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. We see capital punishment. Surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, at the hand of every man, of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And then God makes a covenant with Noah. What was that covenant? God promised he would not destroy the earth with water or by flood. Verse 11. And he set a token of the covenant, which was what? Verse 13. A rainbow. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token for a covenant between me and the earth. So every time we see a rainbow, it reminds us that God keeps his promises, and that waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, verse 15. Then, chapter 11, we have the Tower of Babel. And then that takes us to the patriarchal period, which begins in Genesis chapter 12 and covers through the end of the book, chapter 50, the period of the patriarchs. What was a patriarch? When we talk about the period of the patriarchs, what are we talking about? Who or what is a patriarch? Anybody? A father, a ruler. Good, of a family, a nation, or a tribe. And as we talk about the period of the patriarchs, who are the main patriarchs discussed? Genesis 12 through 50. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Very good. Period of the patriarchs. That's just what it deals with, chapters 12 through 50. The story of Abraham, the story of Isaac, the story of Jacob and Joseph. What was the role of the patriarchal? We know he was a father or leader, a ruler. Throughout the book of Genesis, we learn certain functions he had, things that he did, Yeah.
And a prophet.
He erected altars and offered sacrifices for the family, like in chapter 12, 7, 13, 18, 26, 25, so on and so forth. Prophet, God made known his will through the patriarch, spoke to the patriarch, like in Genesis 12, in verse 1, the Lord had said unto Abram, chapter 26, 4, another example. What does Hebrews 1, verse 1 say? God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers. They also provided for defense and protection, Genesis 14, verse 14. Period of the patriarchs. Anything else on that before we go to the characters? Yeah. Thank you. A lot of information in each book, a lot of lessons we can learn from the book of Genesis. It's the goal of this lesson to just get an overview. And we continue that with looking at the characters of Genesis. A lot of characters are mentioned in the book. Give us a list of some. What characters do you find in the book of Genesis? Adam and Eve. And say that again. Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve. Cain and Abel. Seth. Noah. Enoch. Who else? Abraham and Sarah. There's more than that, isn't there? Lot. Hagar, Ishmael. Methuselah. Isaac and Rebecca. Jacob and Esau. Jacob's wives, Rachel and Leah, their handmaids, his 12 sons and daughter. A lot of characters. Where else are these characters mentioned? There's several of them mentioned. Where? Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Exactly right. Turn over there with me just a moment. Hebrews chapter 11 deals with many of the characters found in the book of Genesis, gives a brief summary of the events that occurred in their lifetime. The faith chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then verse 4, we have the first, by faith, Abel. What did he do? Offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Through of Abel and his brother Cain. Of course, we read about them in Genesis chapter 4. You can read more about Cain in 1 John 3 and verse 12, as well as Jude verse 11, he's mentioned. Abel's mentioned in Matthew 23, 35, Luke 11, 51, and Hebrews 12, verse 24. Different places that Cain and Abel are mentioned. Next, we have Enoch, verse 5. What happened to him? He was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony. I want that testimony today, that he pleased God. You can read more about Enoch in Genesis 5, verses 18 to 24. He's also mentioned in Jude, verse 14. Enoch. Who's next? Noah. You read about him in Genesis 5:29 to Genesis 9, verse 29. He's mentioned other places as well, like Isaiah 54:9, Matthew 24:37, 1 Peter 3:20, 2 Peter 2, verse 5. Verse 7 sums up Noah this way: by faith, Noah, being what? Warned of God of things not seen as yet. Prior to the flood, had rain fallen? Had it rained? How was the ground watered? Mist. Came up from the ground, right? Warned of things not seen as yet. Moved with fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah. Then Abraham. He was called, you can read about that in Genesis 12, called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance. What did he do when he was called? He obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. That takes faith. Abraham's a great example of faith, and that's emphasized throughout the Bible. You can read about Abraham, Genesis 11, 26 to Genesis 25, verse 10. Many other places as well. He's mentioned again in Hebrews 11, in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 22. God tested him, called upon him to offer his son, his only begotten son, Isaac. Here, Hebrews 11 says that he did that. He offered up Isaac. He offered up his only begotten son. Sarah is mentioned as well. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So Abraham, Sarah, Isaac is mentioned. By faith, Isaac, verse 20, blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You can read about Isaac in Genesis 25:11 through Genesis 35, verse 29. Jacob, by faith, Jacob, verse 21, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. You can read about Jacob, Genesis 25:26 to Genesis 49:33. And then Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. The story of Joseph found in Genesis 37 through Genesis chapter 50. So a lot of good characters in the book of Genesis. A lot of good lessons to be learned from each one. And I encourage you to further your study. Next, events of Genesis. I hope we're helping to get an overview of the book of Genesis. What's in the book of Genesis? We've learned characters that's in the book. A lot of events. We've already talked about some. We'll make another list. Main events that happened in the book of Genesis. The creation. Genesis 1 and 2. The fall of man, we mentioned. Sin, its consequences. Also redemption and victory promised. In Genesis 3. Next, the first murder. Genesis chapter 4. Cain kills Abel. The flood. Genesis 6 through 9. Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. Prior to Genesis 11, we learned that they were one nation And they spoke one language. They were of one speech. Genesis 11, verse 1, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And they said one to another after they had journeyed, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar. They dwelt there. They said to one another, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, slime they had for mortar. And they said this, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. We have the purpose of building the Tower of Babel, lest they be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. Well, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, verse 5, which the children of men builded. The Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. This they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. So he says, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Though they tried to build the Tower of Babel to prevent being scattered through the whole earth, that didn't change God or his plan. God saw it, and he confounded their language, and they were scattered. Thus we have the different nations and the different languages that we have. So the Tower of Babel. Genesis 12, we have an important event. The call of Abraham. What was that call from Genesis 12, verse 1? Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. We just read about that in Hebrews 11. And he obeyed, went not knowing whither he went. We'll talk about the promises given to him, the covenant made with him. What are those promises? Land, seed, nation. Makes a covenant with Abraham. Genesis chapter 17. The covenant is spoken of again. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. In verse 4, thou shalt be a father of many nations. Verse 6, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee. Kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant. And in verse 9, after all of this, God says to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. So we have the covenant between God and Abraham and his seed. And they're told, every man child among you should be circumcised. And what was Abraham's response to this? If you read verse 23, Abraham took Ishmael and his son, all that were born in his house, and all that were brought with his money, or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto him. What a great example. Many great lessons learned from Abraham, and this would be one. The command and the covenant given to be circumcised in the selfsame day, they were circumcised. Verse 26, in the self same day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. A lot of people would put off obedience. We need to be like Abraham. In the self same day, do what God tells us to do. So that's an event in Genesis. What else? The overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis 18, 20 to 33, Abraham intercedes for any righteous at Sodom and Gomorrah. Got the number down to what? 10 souls. And then the two angels go to Sodom. They meet with Lot. Lot has them into their house. and Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction, Genesis 18 and 19. Isaac is born, Genesis chapter 21. Genesis 22, Abraham is tested. He offers up Isaac. Sarah dies in Genesis 23. Isaac marries Rebekah in Genesis 24. Abraham dies in Genesis 25. Then we have the life of Isaac, the life of Jacob, and the life of Joseph. Be good to study in detail each event that occurred in each one's lifetime. Can you think of a highlight of each one? The life of Jacob. At first, in Genesis 25, 27, 34, what does Esau do with his birthright? Sold it for what? Pottage. It's later written that he despised his birthright. What happens in Genesis 27? We have the life of Isaac, the covenant made with Isaac, Genesis 26, and then Jacob and Rebekah do what to Isaac? They deceive him. And as a result, Jacob receives Esau's blessing. As a result, Esau hates Jacob. All right. They send Jacob to Laban and his family. He works there for 20 years, marries Leah, Rachel. Good. It's Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. He was loved more than all the other children by Jacob or Israel. His brothers hated him. Trouble when parents choose favorites or show favoritism. They sold him, and he winds up in Potiphar's house in Egypt. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him to lie with her. He flees. She lies about him. He's sent to prison. Chapter 40, he's in prison with the chief baker, the chief butler. Joseph reveals Pharaoh's dream after that. Made a ruler in Egypt, Genesis 41. Joseph's brethren come to buy corn because there's a famine. They stand before Joseph. Joseph eventually reveals himself. All the house of Israel is brought to Egypt in chapter 46. Israel dwells in the country of Goshen. They grow and multiply exceedingly. And that leads to Joseph's death, Genesis 50. This quickly highlights of each one's life, events in the book of Genesis. And then finally, looking forward to the coming of Christ. At this point, are there any questions or comments you'd like to make? A lot of information. You see how quickly you got to move. So try to hit the highlights. Overview of the book of Genesis. And we can't do that without looking forward to the coming of Christ. The theme of the Bible as a whole centers around Christ, his coming, God's plan for redeeming man, salvation in the one to come, salvation in Christ. In each book, we should highlight prophecies pointing to the Christ, our Savior. Jesus multiple times revealed he was the theme of the Old Testament from the following passages you can read. That's why you can turn anywhere in the Old Testament and begin to preach Jesus. Philip did that in Acts 8 with the eunuch. But since the fall of man at the beginning, we see God's plan for redemption already in the mind of God begin to unfold. From the promise of victory through the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, to the promise that the scepter would not depart from Judah, 49 verse 10. And this continues to unfold throughout the whole Bible. So we'll briefly run through that, beginning with the prophecies concerning Christ in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, I've already seen the fall of man. Sin is committed, the consequences of it. And in Genesis 3, verse 15, we read, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15 gives the first promise of the Savior. The seed of the woman is a reference to Christ. And Christ shall bruise the head of the serpent. That is Satan. Then in Genesis 12, verse 3, the promise given to Abraham that in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, repeated in chapter 22. In verse 18, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. That promise looked forward to Christ, because the seed is talking about who? Talking about Christ. You can read more about that in Acts 3 and Galatians 3, 8 through 16, where the seed, not seeds, as a many or plural, but seed, which is Christ. So the promise that all families of the earth will be blessed through the seed of Abraham looks forward to Christ. Then, of course, Genesis 49, verse 10. Jacob blessing his sons, which are who? Verse 28, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The tribe of Judah would be the ruling tribe in Israel until Shiloh come. Shiloh means peaceful, rest giver, or he to whom it belongs, and this refers to Christ. Prophecies concerning Christ, salvation in the one to come. And the promise to be fulfilled is outlined to the descendants of Seth, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah. That's seen very well in the book of Luke, chapter 3, 23 to 38, especially verses 33 to 38, as is depicted the Lord coming through those individuals, Seth, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah. So Genesis 3, we have the fall of man, the promise given, chapter 3, verse 15. Of course, Adam and Eve have Cain, Abel, and Seth. Cain kills Abel, and he's described how in 1 John 3:12? That wicked one. So through Seth's descendants comes Noah and his sons in Genesis chapter 5. All right. Talking about the generations of Adam. Next, his son, made in his likeness after his image, his name Seth, all the way down to Noah and his sons. Verse 32. Then in Genesis 9, 20 to 29, after the flood, Noah plants a vineyard, and he, what happens? He gets drunk. He's in his tent, naked. What happens? Ham told Shem and Japheth covered him. As a result, their actions had effect on the blessings or curses they would receive. Noah woke from his wine. He knew what his younger son had done unto him, Genesis 9, verse 24. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Verse 26, he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Verse 27, God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Then through Shem's descendants comes who? Abram, or Abraham. Thus begins the story of Abraham, chapter 12 through 25, verse 10. He was given the call to go out into a land that God would show him. He went out not knowing whither he went. He was given the three promises that he would be made a great nation. Chapter 12, verse 2. That in him or in his seed, all families of the earth will be blessed. Genesis 12, 3. Given the land promise, chapter 12, verse 7. He would give his seed the land of Canaan. Were those fulfilled? Absolutely. Deuteronomy 4, 6 to 8 talks about the great nation. Galatians 3, 14, 16, 19, we've referenced that, dealing with his seed, Christ. It's through him that all families of the earth will be blessed. That's been fulfilled. That's being fulfilled today through Christ. Joshua 21, verse 43, says this, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. All the land which was sworn or promised to them was given." Verse 45, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." The promises fulfilled. God is faithful. Many other places, Genesis repeats the promises. Hopefully you found those. Abraham and Sarah have a son. His name was Isaac. How old was Abraham and Sarah? Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah, 90. Of course, both of them laughed at the first hearing of them having a son in their old age. But it happened, just as was said. Isaac marries Rebekah, has two sons. Who are they? Then Jacob and Esau. Who would the promise come through? Jacob. This would begin in Egypt. Genesis 46, verse 3. Israel has 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel. The Lord would come, as we've seen, through Judah. And the book closes with the promise beginning to be fulfilled as Israel, coming in as 70 souls, dwelt in the land or country of what? What country is it? Dead? Goshen? They're growing and multiplying exceedingly. Thus, Genesis concludes as Israel's in Egypt, growing and multiplying exceedingly. And just before his death, Joseph reminds the people of the promise, "God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And Exodus will pick up right where Genesis left off. Any other questions or comments? Anything you'd like to add to the book of Genesis? I hope that helps us in getting an overall view of Genesis. What's in the book of Genesis? How would you summarize the book? God's plan. You certainly see that, his plan being fulfilled and his providence in each individual. Anything else?
God created man, and man rebelled against God, and God working to bring about redemption for fallen man.
Exactly right. That's a good summary. And we'll leave it at that. Thank you very much for your kind attention and participation. Sunday, we begin an introduction to Acts, Acts chapter 1. And all of us are looking forward to that study as each one of you takes part, each of the men who have signed up. If you haven't, I encourage you to sign up if you're interested. It is a great opportunity for growth. And I thank you for the opportunity that's allowed me to grow to stand before you and teach these lessons. Thank you.